Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. On today's show, the further stories of Bradbury 13. If you enjoy this episode, please check out Volumes 1 in the archives. You can find ways to reach out in the descriptions. And if you enjoy this podcast, please don't forget to follow, review, and rate. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
This is Ray Bradbury. Join me for the next 30 minutes on a tour through time and space. Come along to the far future. Follow me into a strange past with stories that almost could be or might have been. Real or unreal, this is Bradbury 13.
The lions were coming now. 15 feet away, then 10, then 5. They were so real that you could feel the prickling fur on your hand, and the yellow of them was in your eyes like the yellow of an exquisite French tapestry, and the sound of the matted lion lungs exhaling on the silent noontide. And the smell of meat from the panting, dripping mouths. Ray Bradbury's The Veldt.
George! George, is it ready?
Yes. The electrician's just left.
It's all ready.
Let's go inside.
Oh, no. Wait. Don't go in yet. Let me call the children. Peter! Wendy!
They'll love it.
Sure, I know. I know you don't like fish.
Yuck! Fish is one thing, and fishing is something else.
It's all stinky.
Girls don't understand. Dad and I'll catch whoppers. Won't we, Dad? Dad?
Hmm?
Fishing. Loon Lake.
Loon Lake?
You remember. You said we were going fishing on Loon Lake today.
Oh, that's right. I did. I've just been so busy. I'll get it. Yes?
Mr. Hadley?
Yes?
There's been a special board meeting called for 11 o'clock.
Today?
We've sent the helicopter to pick you up.
Well, I... All right. Thanks. I'll be ready. Oh, I'm sorry, Peter. Peter, I know you wanted... They own me, don't they? We'll go fishing next week.
Sure, Dad. Now it's not so bad. Here's the new playroom, all finished and ready to play in.
That's right. You kids don't know how lucky you are. Step up to the door. Go on. See? It opens by itself. Go on, Wendy. Take a look.
Is this all there is?
It's just a big empty room.
Aha! It only looks empty. It's a machine, but even more than a machine. Watch. Hear it?
dimensional, super reactionary, holographics, order of phonics, and sonics.
Still looks empty to me.
You think so? All right, now watch this. Playroom. Let there be light. Paris. The blue hour of twilight. You see it?
Yes, yes.
The gold hour of sunset.
Oh.
An Eiffel Tower, please, of bronze.
Oh.
There. An Arc de Triomphe of shining brass.
It's beautiful.
Let fountains toss forth fiery lava.
Oh.
Throw pennies in the fountain. Make a wish. Enough of Paris. Egypt now. Shape pyramids of white hot stone.
George.
Carve sphinx from ancient sand and wind. Do you see, children? Come on closer. Don't stand back there. Enough. Be gone. There. Well, what do you think, kids?
It's great.
Great? It's a miracle, that's what it is. There's a giant's eye, a giant's ear, a giant's brain in every one of those walls that remembers every city. Every town, hill, mountain, ocean, every language, all the music in the world, and all in three dimensions. Name anything. The room will hear and obey.
You sound like a salesman.
Do I? Well, no harm. Must be the melodrama in my blood. Go on, kids. Try it. Peter, come on, try it. There's my helicopter.
Your briefcase is behind the couch.
Where?
Oh, come on. I'll get it for you.
Yeah. Goodbye, kids. Peter? Wendy? Not even a thanks?
Thanks a lot, Dad.
Yeah, thanks.
Honey, come on. You'll be late.
Try out the room, kids.
I don't know what to ask for.
I do. Show me Loon Lake.
Why? I didn't hear you.
The room did. Look.
It's a lake.
Loon Lake, where Dad and I go.
The water's so blue. It's like the sky turned upside down. And there's a boat coming toward us. Hey, it's you and Dad.
Hey, it is. Now we've stopped. The lions are out fishing.
Hey, I've caught a big one.
See?
It's beautiful, all right.
I'll say that's the biggest one I...
Oh, it slipped off the line.
But that isn't...
The boat. It's going away. The fog's coming up. I can hardly see the boat now. It's gone. You and Dad are gone. Bring him back, Peter.
I can't.
Try.
Come back. Come back, please. It's no use. The room won't listen.
You're not trying hard enough. Come back!
Come back!
Come back!
Come back!
Peter? Wendy, what's going on?
Nothing.
Oh. Have you tried Mexico yet? The instructions say the most wonderful things about the Aztec ruins down there.
The time is 11 o'clock.
Oh, I've got to rush. I'll be at Mrs. Morgan's till 11:30, and then Mrs. Harrison's at noon. We'll be shopping until 3 o'clock. The table will feed you at 12:15. Eat, both of you. At 1 o'clock, do your music tapes with violin and piano. I've written the schedule on the electric board.
Sure, Mom, sure.
Have fun, and don't forget Bombay India while you're at it.
I won't forget.
Peter, what is it?
Now. Do it now.
Peter! help. Peter, you filled the lake.
Did I?
Hey, this is fun.
Lydia, I'm home.
I'm in the kitchen.
What are you cooking?
I'm not cooking anything. I'm just watching.
Oh?
The kitchen is making a pot roast, I think.
You did?
Well, sometimes this kitchen is, selfish.
Oh, Lydia.
No, I mean it. Sometimes I think it'd be happy if I stayed out, stayed away completely, and let it work.
Now you're being silly.
Maybe. George, I want you to take a look at the playroom.
Look at it? Is it broken? Lydia, we've only had that 8 weeks.
Broken, exactly. Well, look at it first, and then you tell me.
Fair enough.
Lead on, Macduff.
Oh, sure.
What? It's Africa, isn't it?
Yes, the Veldlands.
Let's get out of the sun.
You're starting to sweat, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. It's perfect, isn't it? The perfect illusion.
What's perfect about it?
Lydia, is there a child in the world who hasn't wanted to go to Africa? High blue skies, horizons a billion miles off in the dust. The smell of pulverized honeybees and cloves and cinnamon. A lush smell. Smell it.
Yes.
Why, there must be a water hole nearby, Buona. Lydia, it's perfect. Perfect. That sun's hot. I'm really sweating now.
George, you're missing the point. Look.
What? The vultures?
Ugh, filthy creatures.
Is that what worries you?
No. That's what worries me.
The lions?
Yes, the lions. I don't like having lions in the house.
Oh. They're not exactly in the house. I wonder what they're up to.
They're on their way to the water hole. They've just been feeding.
It's like a zebra or a baby giraffe, I imagine.
Are you sure?
Well, it's a bit late to be sure of anything. They've been feeding for quite a while. The vultures are getting what's left.
George, on our way down the hall just now, did you hear a scream from in here?
A scream? A scream? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Forget it. It's just that the lions won't go away. The room has stayed this way for a month. Every day the lions killing and leaving their bloody tracks through the trees, killing and gorging over and over.
The kids love Africa, like all kids do.
George, the lions are getting closer.
Just coming over to pay their respects.
Not so close.
Lydia, you're not afraid.
It's just that they're so real.
Yes. Very real. Listen to them.
George, watch out!
Lydia! Lydia, come back! Lydia, wait! There. Nice and safe.
George, they almost got us.
Oh, it's machinery. Electronics, sonics, visuals, that's all.
I'm afraid, all right? I'm afraid.
What do you want me to do?
Tell Peter and Wendy no more Africa. It's got to stop.
Okay, I'll talk to them.
I mean it. Lay down the law. I've tried to talk to them every day for a month, but they just walk away from me into Africa.
I'll tell them. I'll lock the playroom up like I did a few weeks ago.
Do you remember that night?
They hated me for that.
And they'll hate you again.
Well, let them. It's only natural to hate your father when he punishes you.
Oh, but they don't say a word. They just stare at you. And day by day, the playroom gets hotter, and the veldt gets wider and more desolate.
Who could that be? Hello?
Dad, we won't be home for supper. We're at the automation show across town.
Wendy, what's that on your blouse?
Oh, just some ice cream.
Now listen, I think...
Gotta go!
No hello, no goodbyes, no pleases, no thank yous.
Come on. Let's eat.
Wait. Have you felt the playroom door?
Felt it?
Yes, touch it. Trembles as if a huge bake oven were breathing against it.
It's just the African sun.
The lions. Well, they can't come out. Can they? Can they?
Of course not. Come on.
George? George, are you in the living room?
I couldn't sleep. I'm waiting up for the kids.
They're not home yet? I'll be right down.
No, don't bother. Go back to sleep. I'll be right up. I just want to check on something first.
Is the veldt gone? No. The sun's gone down. It's twilight. The stars are coming out.
So, you're still there, are you? What are you waiting for? Why don't you go away? Go away! Go on! Let's have Paris! London! Cairo! Go! Get out! Get out! Let's have Alibaba and the 40 Thieves! Alice in Wonderland!
Lydia is right. The room is out of order. Or is it?
It's broken, isn't it? Oh, George!
I didn't hear you come in. What are you doing with that candle?
Well, I guess I thought there wouldn't be any electricity out here.
The room is out of order. It won't respond.
Or it can't respond. Maybe Peter said it.
I'll call a repairman in the morning.
No. Call our psychiatrist.
Dave McLean?
Yes, Dave. And lock the playroom. Tonight.
Come on.
Wait a minute. What's this?
What?
Why, I don't know. I just picked it up.
It looks like leather. That's my old wallet.
What's happened to it?
Looks like it's been run through a machine.
Or else it's been chewed. These are teeth marks.
Oh, don't be silly. Those are some sort of sprocket marks.
And this dark stuff?
That looks like chocolate.
Does it?
It's blood.
Awfully nice of you to come by so early, David.
No bother, really. If you'll give me my breakfast,
I'll fix it myself. I mean, I'll push all the right buttons. Here's the room. I thought you'd want to examine it yourself.
Yes, I would.
The children got into it early this morning after I locked it up. I let them stay so they could form patterns for you to see.
That's fine.
There it is. That's the sound Lydia heard. I'll be in the kitchen if you need me.
Who's there?
Dave McLean.
Are you a repairman?
No, not exactly.
Dave McLean. I know you. You read the bumps on people's heads.
I wish it were that simple. Right now, I'm here to see what you and your sister have written on the walls of this room.
But Oh, I see what you mean. Are you always dishonest?
People know when you lie.
No, they don't. And you know why? They're not listening. They only hear themselves. So you might as well lie.
You really believe that?
I thought everyone did. I have to clean the room now.
If you don't mind, I'd prefer it the way it is.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's see what this room's made of. I've never seen anything like it.
More coffee?
No. It's actually blood dripping from the walls. How long's this been going on?
About a month.
George, my advice to you is to have the whole room torn down and your children sent to me for treatment.
Treatment?
Yes, for at least a year.
But you're the one who told us to build that playroom.
When I told you to build that room, it was because the record of playrooms in the past was exceptionally good. 99 cases out of 100, it works. Children use the rooms, parents observe the blueprints marked on the walls, everyone's happy. But in this case...
This case?
I'm afraid the rooms become a channel toward destructive thoughts rather than a release away from them. George, Lydia, your children hate you.
Hate us?
We're their parents.
Oh, you really? Look at yourselves. What kind of life do you lead? Machines make your bed, shine your shoes, they blow your noses for you. Machines ventilate your house, they drive you down the street at 90 miles an hour. They lift you straight up into the air, always away and away from your children.
We've given them the best life we know how.
You've given them machines. I call on the phone and a machine answers and says you're not here. How long has it been since you got out of your house and walked with your children and talked to them and listened to them?
I don't know.
Lydia, haven't been around. Let this house, this playroom, become their mother and father. Even more important than their real parents. And you've threatened to shut it off. No wonder there's hatred here.
What can we do?
Make a clean break.
You want us to switch off the room?
The room, the house, everything. Take the children and leave for a while.
But the shock...
Do it, George. Do it.
Yes. You're right. And I've got to do it now.
George,
let me get the children out of there first.
Peter, Wendy.
Dad? You're not shutting off this room.
Go in the other room for a while. Go on.
I won't let you do it.
Peter, get away from that panel.
No, George.
Hold on, George.
Don't let the children here.
No, George, no.
Now get out of the way.
George!
Don't call me George, you hear?
You can't shut it off. It won't let you.
Oh, we'll see about that.
Stop it. You're killing them. Stop it. You killed them. I hate you. I wish you were dead.
Come on.
What are you doing now?
I'm locking the playroom.
That was badly handled.
It's done. Now, turn off the stoves, the voice clocks, the TVs, the body scrubbers, the bed makers, everything.
George? Are you awake?
We can sleep. It's after midnight.
I know. Listen, the house is so still. It used to hum all the time under its breath.
If Felt so strange, shutting everything off tonight. For a while there, the whole place felt like a cemetery.
We'll adjust. The children will forgive us eventually. There's no way for them to tamper with the room, is there?
What could they do? Anyway, there's a lot of electricity in the walls. They know better than to mess with it.
I am so glad we're leaving tomorrow.
Yeah. It'll be great in the mountains, fishing. Dave said he'd be by first thing in the morning with his helicopter to take us up there himself.
Oh.
Good old Dave. What is it?
Listen. Listen.
Mother, Father, come help us.
The children.
They must have broken into the playroom.
Peter. Wendy.
Here. We're down here.
Children.
Kids, we're coming.
Children, Peter.
Wendy. Peter! Wendy!
Where are they?
I don't know. Peter! Wendy!
Oh, George. It's Africa again. The sun, the vultures.
I've seen enough. That's crazy. Door, it's not supposed to... It's locked!
What can't be? There's no way for it to lock itself.
No, there isn't. Peter! Wendy!
Oh, George! The lions!
Kids, open up! Kids! You open up! I know you're out there!
George! They see us!
It's all right! They're just walls, Lydia, walls! Kids, unlock this door!
George, the lions!
Lydia, it's an illusion!
No!
Children, they are frightening your mother! Come on, open up, you hear?
Oh, George, they're lying!
Peter!
Oh, George! Those screams we heard, those screams were us! You and me, George! You and me!
Kids, open this door! Now you listen to me!
Stop them running, George! Stop them!
It's an illusion!
George! Lydia! Hello? Anyone here? Peter, Wendy, what?
Oh, Mr. McLean. We're just having a picnic. Oh, don't worry, Ned. They're feeding. A cup of tea?
The Veldt was adapted from the story by Ray Bradbury. Featured in the cast were Ivan Crossland, Janet Swenson, Mark Alston, Jennifer Kuhlman, and Neil Barth. Original music by Roger Hoffman and Greg Hansen. Production assistant was Patrick Mead. Associate producer was Jeff Rader. Bradbury 13 was created, produced, and directed by Mike McDonough. Executive producer was Dean Van Eitert. This program was produced with the funds provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, through National Public Radio Satellite Program Development Fund. The program was produced by Brigham Young University Media Services, which is solely responsible for its content. This is Paul Frees speaking.
save big on your Thanksgiving feast. All in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
This is Ray Bradbury. Join me for the next 30 minutes on a tour through time and space. Come along to the far future. Follow me into a strange past with stories that almost could be or might have been. Real or unreal, this is Bradbury 13.
It was the quiet and restful time of the day. Silence. Just the bone porcelain flowered clock on the mantel chiming three, ticking away, busy as termites in wood. Just the old room smelling of polished mahogany and oiled leather in the Morris chair, books sitting stiff on the shelves. The dark young man smiled from the antique rocker. He listened patiently, politely, as Aunt Tildy chatted away, while four men dressed in black stood in the hall with the wicker basket, waiting. Ray Bradbury's There Was an Old Woman.
No, well, there's no leaf arguing about it. I've got my mind fixed on that subject. Run along now with your silly wicker basket. Scoot! No never minds about tall, dark gentlemen with fangled ideas. Well, you got in mind to talk to me? Well, you can talk. But meantime, I hope you don't mind if I pour myself some coffee. I'll fetch some from the stove. It's the only thing that keeps me going some days. If you'd been more polite, I'd offered you some. But you jump in here, high and mighty. Never rapped on the door or nothing. Oh, land sakes, you think you own the place. Oh, there. Nice and hot. Oh, don't just stand there wearing out the floor. Sit down with ya. That's an antique chair, so be gentle. Y'all settled? That wicker basket in the hall. Now, don't go a-giving me that look. You know what I'm talking on. It's past 6 feet long. And by the look of it, it ain't built for laundry. And those four men you walked in with. You don't need them carrying that basket. Why, it's light as thistles. Couldn't weigh more than a couple of pounds. Now, hold it. What are you giving me such a look for? Something in your face tells me you don't think it'll be so light after a while. Pshaw! You don't know what you're saying! Where have I seen a wicker basket like that before? Seems to me it was only a couple of years ago. It seems to me... Now, I remember... It was when Mrs. Dower passed away next door. They brought it. So that's what you're up to. Huh. Oh, I thought you was working so to sell me something. Oh, you just sit there until my little Emily trounces home from college this afternoon. She'll come by after her classes. I wrote her a note last week, not admitting, of course, that I wasn't feeling quite ripe and fert, but sort of hinting I want to see her again. Been a good many weeks now, her living in New York and all. Now, what are you looking at so funny? You think I'm tired? Well, I'm not. I'm not tired a bit. Well, you're half closing your eyes and resting yourself. Trying to say to me, oh, and I like to rest too. Wouldn't it be grand to finally sit back and rest and rest and rest? Oh, great sons of Goshen on Gilberry Dyke. Why, I got 100 comforters, 200 sweaters, and 600 potholders in these fingers yet. No matter they're skinny. Have some coffee with me and let me tell you about Emily. My sweet fair child. Sugar? No, I suppose not. There. I well remember the day her mother died, 20 years ago, leaving Emily to my house. And that's why I'm mad at you and your wickers and such goings-on. Who ever heard of people dying for any good cause? Young man, I don't like it. Why, I remember 25 years back, my own father's voice trembling in the late afternoon.
Ellie, what you gonna do in life?
I don't know what you mean, Papa.
The way you act. Well, men don't pay you much mind.
Oh, Papa.
You kiss and skedaddle. You run so fast they'll never catch you. Why don't you settle down and get yourself married, raise some children, and give me some grandkids to play with in my old age?
I guess I just like laughing and playing and singing too much to go and get married. I'm not the marrying kind.
Why, and blazes not.
I don't rightly know. I guess I just can't seem to find a man with my philosophy, Papa.
What philosophy is that?
That death is ridiculous. It run off with Mama when we needed her most. You call that intelligent?
You can't cheat death, Tildy.
I'm starting my own philosophy here and now. Why, it's silly. People live a couple of years, then they're shoved like wet seeds in a hole in the ground, but nothing sprouts. What good do they do? Lay there a million years helping no one? They turn into old clothes and bleached white bones. Most of them fine, nice, neat people, or at least trying to be. Papa? Papa? Papa?
Papa? Papa? Papa? Papa wasn't listening to me anymore. He bleached out. Faded away like an old photo left lying in the sun. I tried my darndest to talk him out of it, but he passed on anyway. I left then. I couldn't stay on once he was cold, because his coldness spoilt my whole philosophy. I didn't even go to the funeral. I didn't do nothing till I set up this antique shop of mine in this old house and lived alone for years. That is, till I took in Emily. Her mama was an old friend of mine, and I'd promised I'd look after Emily when she died, but I didn't want to take her in. And I'll tell you the reason. Emily believes in dying, and I don't. Oh, don't shake your head so. It's all the gospel truth, I'm telling you. Emily was the first to live in this house with me in all these years. I never got married. Feared the idea of living with a man 20, 30 years and then have him up and die on me. It'd shake my convictions like a house of cards. Shied off from the whole world. Screamed at people if they so much as mentioned death. Well, from that day to this, I've only played my old phonograph records. These, right here, you see? Oh, my favorite was always Roaming in the Gloamin'. Roaming in the gloaming, da-da-dee-da-da-da-da. Oh, but that wore out some time ago. There, let me put this on.
Roaming in the gloaming,
Ain't that something? What's that? 3 o'clock? Wasn't it 3 o'clock just 5 minutes ago? Oh, I love that old clock of mine. Old bone white clock with the gold angels round the face. Well, you just gonna sit there, young man? All right. Well, then you won't mind if I take a little cat nap. Now, don't you stir off that chair. I'm just gonna close my eyes for a spell. That's right. Just a spell. Nice and quiet and restful time of the day. It's quiet. Just the phonograph and the clock ticking away, busy as a bee. Ah, so nice. Night. You aren't getting up from that chair, are you, mister? Oh, you better not. I got one eye open for you. Yes, indeed, I have. Oh, it's a feathery. It's a drowsy. It's a deep. Oh, it's underwater almost. So, so nice. Who's moving around in the dark with my eyes closed? Who's that kissing my cheek? You, Emily? No, I guess it was my thoughts, only dreaming. Land, yes, that's it. Drift off. Oh. What'd you say? Oh, wait. I'll put on my glasses. There. What are you doing by the door, young man? Leaving so soon? Had to give up, didn't you? Couldn't convince me. No, sir, I'm mule stubborn. Never get me free of this house. So don't bother coming back to try. What's that? Have no intention of coming back. Ever? Well, fine. I always told Papa I'd win. Why, I'll knit in this window the next 1,000 years. They'll have to chew the boards down around me to get me out. Now, quit looking like the cat that ate the bird and get that old fool wicker basket out of here. That's it. Take it out the door. What you struggling with that wicker for? It ain't heavy. Unless you... Did you steal my antiques while I was resting? You got my books in there? My clocks? What have you got in that wicker? Hey, don't you boys hear me? Young man! What? Me? Curious? Sean, no. I don't want to look inside. Not me. Go on, get out. All of you. All of you. Oh, there. That's better. Gone. Darn fool men with their maggoty ideas. Now, never mind's about the wicker. They stole something, they're welcome to it. As long as they leave me alone. Here comes Emily, home from college. Oh, about time. Such a lovely girl. Look how she walks up those steps. Oh, but land, she looks pale and funny today, walking so slow. Wonder why. Looks worried, she does. Poor girl. Oh, I'll fix some coffee and a tray of cookies. Emily? Emily, I've been waiting for you. Yeah, there was a darnest fool man here with a wicker trying to sell me something he didn't want. Oh, I'm glad your home makes it feel right cozy. No. Emily, what's wrong?
No.
Stop staring. Here, I'll bring you a cup of coffee.
No.
Well, Emily.
No.
Emily, why are you backing away from me? Child, no. Child, you'll go crazy that way. Oh. Emily, get up off that floor. You broke my favorite face acting so crazy. And stop cringing, child. I won't hurt you. Land, if there ain't one thing, it's another. Emily, what's wrong, child? Oh, child, here. Sip some water. Sip it, Emily. Sip it. Sip it. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Aunt Tilby. Aunt Tilby. Aunt Tilby.
Don't stop that! Oh, I hated to slap you, child, but what ails you?
You're not here, Aunt Tilly. You're dead.
Oh, what a fool.
No, you can't be here.
Oh, land of Goshen, Emily. Here, give me your hand. Touch me. Go on.
I can't.
Just touch me like this. See? Great day in the morning. It passed clean through me.
You see?
What? That fibber?
That sneak thief? That dark-haired fiend? He stole it. He toted it away like a thief in the night while I wasn't looking.
Who? Who stole it?
He did. He did. Why? Oh, child, get up. I need you.
But you're gone.
A part of me's here. I hear that'll have to do for a bit. Fetch my bonnet.
I'm scared.
It's certainly not of me.
Yes.
I'm no spook. You know me most of your life. Now, this is no time to snivel, sop. Fetch up on your heels or I'll slap you crack across your nose. Come on now, that's it. Get hold of yourself, girl.
I'm trying. I just never had much to do with a dead person before.
Stop that kind of talk, you hear? Who was it that raised you up from a pup? Me, that's who. So don't stand there trying to decide which way you're going to bolt. Just help me.
How?
Where's your car?
Out in the driveway in front of the garage.
Good. Now, come on. Get your purse. Now, which way is the mortuary?
It's that way.
Well, we'll have to hurry.
What are you going to do, Aunt Tilby?
Do? Why, get my body back, of course. Get my body back. Come on now. Let's go. Can't you drive a little faster?
I'm trying.
Well, that's better. Now, hurry, child, for they squirt juices in my body and Dyson Cupid the way them persnickety morticians have a habit of doing. They cut and sew it so it ain't no good to no one. Cross the road, child! We won't harm no one else. Give them morticians more business, do we?
Oh, Auntie, Auntie, let me stop. Don't make me drive. It won't do any good.
Of course it will, you'll see. I ain't never given up, and I won't start now. Oh, there. There's a mortuary. Pull up to the curb. Emily.
What?
Look there, child. Those four men are unloading that wicker from the hearse. Oh, you. You wait here, Emily. Won't take long. You there. Put that basket down.
Step aside, lady. We're doing our job.
That's my body tucked in there.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Open the door, Al. Watch out, coming through.
Not so fast, Buster.
Hey, lady, you can't come in here.
I go where my body goes.
Suit yourself, lady. Okay, Al, let's set her down here.
Easy with that. Oh, my land. Look at all this paraphernalia, tubes and jars and knives. You ain't fixed on using so much as a toenail clipper on me. Are you?
Oh, good, it's arrived.
And what are you smiling at?
Madam, this is no fit place for a gentlewoman.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. That's exactly what I tried to tell that dark-clothed young man.
What dark-clothed young man?
The one that came puddling around my house, that's who?
No one of that description works for us.
That he came poking around with them four other fellers with a wicker.
I'm afraid you're mistaken.
Well, no matter. As you just said so intelligently, this is no place for a lady. I don't want me here. I want me home, cooking ham for Sunday visitors. I got Emily to feed, sweaters to knit, clocks to wind.
You are quite philosophical and philanthropical, no doubt, madam. But I have work to do. A body has arrived, you see.
You put so much as a fingerprint on that body and
I'm sorry, but... George, escort this lady out, please.
Come on, lady.
Show me your backside going the other way.
This way, lady. Come on.
Don't you lay a hand on me. See? You can't touch me. I melt right through your hands. Amazing, isn't it?
She slipped right through.
It's a new talent I've developed. I want my body back.
Madam, what do you mean, your body?
Just what I said. Take a look for yourself.
Very well. Open the lid, George.
Now, take a gander. Well?
This lady here is a relative of yours?
A very dear relation. Be careful of her.
A sister, perhaps?
No, you fool, it's me! Do you hear me?
Impossible. It can't be. Things like this don't happen. Now, I'm afraid we have work to do. George, get help from the others and remove this lady. I can't work with a crank present.
Get all the help you can. I won't budge.
But you must. You're a lady.
Too late for flattery.
Come on, down the hall.
Leave me be. How dare you? I've never been so mistreated in all my life.
Come on, just a little further.
You get your hands off me. The arms slipped away.
Please, ma'am, you can't stay here. This is where the body rests for the service tomorrow.
Keep away from me. I'm sitting right here until I get what I want. You hear me?
Here, here, here. More respect, please. More respect. What is this? Oh, madam, may I help you?
You may.
How may I be of service, please?
Go in that room back there.
Yes?
And tell that eager young investigator to quit fiddling with my body. I'm a maiden lady, and my moles and birthmarks and scars and other bric-a-brac, including the turn of my ankle, are my own secret. I don't want him prying and probing anything.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
Listen, Mr. What's-your-name?
Carrington.
Mr. Carrington. He's got me in there on this table like a pigeon, ready to be drawn and stuffed.
He's got you?
Go see for yourself.
Very well. Excuse me for a few minutes while I check on this.
You go right ahead and check. I'll sit right here and wait for you. And the rest of you, you keep your distance or I'll whop you with this parasol. Well, it's me in that room, isn't it?
You're making this very difficult for us.
I am. Oh, St. Vitus in the morning. Looky here, Mr. Blood and Bones, or whatever you're called.
Carrington.
You just tell that man back there.
We're already draining the blood from the corpse.
What?
Yes, yes, I assure you there's nothing to be done. Our mortician is also performing a brief autopsy to determine the cause of death. So, you just go away now.
He can't do that. Only coroners are allowed to do that.
Well, we sometimes allow a little...
Oh, you march straight in and tell that. Cut him up to pump all that blue blood right back into that fine-skinned body. And if he's taken anything out, for him to attach it back so it will function properly, and then turn that body fresh as paint into my keeping. You hear?
There's nothing I can do.
Well, there's something I can do. I can sit right here for the next 200 years. You listening? And every time any of your customers come by, I'll spit ectoplasm right squirt up their nostrils.
You wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't.
You'd ruin our business. We'd have to close up.
Yes.
But in all fairness, you wouldn't force us out into the street to continue our services, would you?
Oh, I wouldn't mind at all. In fact, here comes a customer now.
No, please, please. That's Mrs. Hawkins. She's come to visit her husband in the slumber room.
Perfect. Watch this.
You can have your body back.
Ah, intact?
Intact.
No formaldehyde.
No formaldehyde.
Blood in it?
Blood, yes, blood. If only you'll take it and go.
Fair enough. Fix her up and it's a deal.
Well, don't just stand around, you mental incompetence. Fix her up and bring her out.
Yes, sir.
That's better. And be quick. I haven't got all day. Well, what took you so long? Easy with that wicker. put it right here on the floor where I can step into it.
Set it down, boys.
Oh, Auntie, are you sure this is going to work?
Don't worry yourself. I'll soon be back with you, child. All of me, that is. Open the lid.
Open it.
Natural looking, isn't it?
Of course, madam.
Now I'll just step into it. First, my feet. Legs. Backside. Arms. Yes. Feels cold, like granite.
You're almost there. Try pushing harder.
I'm here!
Oh, Andy!
Come alive, body. Raise up a bit. Now fold your legs. Oh, good. Now feel. Feel. Oh, yes, it's warm. Now move. Yes. Now stand up. There. Now walk.
She's walking.
Now talk.
Much obliged.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't believe it.
Come on, Emily. Come on, let's go home. Come in. Is it the man in black?
No, Aunt Tildy, it's only me.
Oh, come in quick, child, and shut the door. Emily, I got a treat for you.
Oh, what's that?
Looky here. It's my autopsy scar. Not bad sewing for a man. Have some tea, dear.
There Was an Old Woman was adapted from the story by Ray Bradbury. Featured in the cast were Ruth Hale, Nathan Hale, Kim Jensen, Tanya Neff, Bob Nelson, Dwayne Hyatt, and Morgan White. Original music by Roger Hoffman and Greg Hansen. Production assistant was Patrick Mead. Associate producer was Jeff Rader. Bradbury 13 was created, produced, and directed by Mike McDonough. Executive producer was Dean Van Eitert. This program was produced with the funds provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through National Public Radio Satellite Program Development Fund. The program was produced by Brigham Young University Media Services, which is solely responsible for its content. This is Paul Freese speaking.
Thank you again for listening, and please don't forget to follow, review, and rate.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.